Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Quality sleep optimizes recovery, helping professional and everyday athletes perform their best. Only the Sleep Number Smart Bed is proven to improve the quality of sleep and provides valuable insights that can be used to support overall wellness. Talent on a college team allows the best players to outperform their opponents, but in the NFL, everyone is talented. Players entering the draft need every competitive edge they can get, starting with quality sleep. Training will only get more intense as players transition to the pros, so to optimize recovery, they can rely on Sleep Number for consistent, high-quality sleep. Experience game-changing sleep with a Sleep Number smart bed only at a Sleep Number store.
It's a Friday edition of Zero Blog 30, and today we are still presented by our good friends at ArborTech. If you haven't gone to arbortechtools.com to check out what they're doing there, you're making a huge mistake. I busted that bad boy out, had my power chisel going. Just the fact that if somebody comes over and you want to show them some of your tools, or they happen to go through and they see the power chisel sitting out, they say, "What's that?" You say, "Oh, it's a power chisel." You automatically get tool street cred just with one of those bad boys. And honest to God, that's what it's a lot of what being a tool guy, a tool lady, is all about. Like, if you, that's the only reason why I have a saw stop, besides the fact that I want to keep my fingers. But a lot of the tools that I have, it's just for clout. Like, it's like the Michael Jordan of being a dad. Like, you have Jordan shoes whenever you're growing up. You need to have the good tools. That's what ArborTech Tools is. ArborTechTools.com with the promo code Zero. Not only are they the best, they're essentially the Jordans of the tool world.
True.
Right now, with all the stuff they're going, people are saying that all over the place. Go check them out, what they're doing at ArborTechie on Instagram. It's a great account where you can get a lot better ideas than what I'm telling you right now. People are carving bald eagles. They're doing fucking coffee tables. They're doing all kinds of things with ArborTech tools. You can too if you're smart enough to save 10% by going to arbortechtools.com. Let's get started with the show. Oh, as you were, we have a lot of stuff I have to do. I have to tell you what the rounds are. And today there's five. It's a little bit of a spooky Halloween is upon us. And we're going to give you the spookiest haunted military spots and the top five scariest sounds in the military. Round number two, move aside, Aunt Becky. And not just because you're in prison. We've got a case of GI Bill fraud out in San Diego that'll make you say, "Have mercy." Round number three, a Navy vet is going viral on Facebook for exposing gross, moldy food troops. What? Oh, wait. For exposing, as you were. Round number three, a Navy vet is going viral on Facebook for exposing the gross and moldy food that troops get while on their plates. And we'll be honest, we puked in our mouths just a little bit. Round number four, a new MRE is on the way. And this one is going to plug you up more than Kate is currently, because as you all know, constipation is one of the side effects of pregnancy.
I didn't know.
There's a big old blockage in your belly.
Yeah, it's a bug.
And every time you mention it, you look like you legit have not only pain in your abdomen, but just pain in your eyes.
It's pain in my eyes, probably because there's poop all the way up to my eyes at this point.
Yeah, your eyes used to be blue. Now they're a nice shade of brown.
Brown. Mm-hmm. It's where all my shitty ideas are coming from this week. I'll tell you that
true.
Much.
Round number five, ZBT Social roasted the Air Force for a heated blanket goofing this week. But you know what? We have to be honest. There is certain things that when you're a soldier or when you're a Marine, you look at, and I'm going to point at you two, Bubbas, of the Navy and the Air Force that we're jealous of. We're going to be honest. We're going to climb up in the honest tree after we do our ORM report, of course. We got to make sure that we're being safe.
Right.
We're going to climb up in the honest tree and let you know what we're actually jealous of. And we're going to do that starting right now. So we're recording on a Wednesday, which is, I am a creature of habit. So anytime we're switching things up, it throws me for a big time loop.
It is. You know what I'm going down there for? And I don't.
Oh, I love this game. No, don't tell me. I think you're going, because you've been really craving kind of a medium rare cheesesteak just to see if you can get things going.
I actually had a horrible cheesesteak up here the other day that ruined my whole day. It was so fucking bad. But no, that's not why I'm going. I'll give you a clue. Boobs and hot wings.
Cons is, I believe, muted for some reason. We can't hear what Cons is saying. I can't hear Cons at all.
Well,
all right, let's start the show.
Something about West Point? Yeah. It's me, Kong.
It's going to be the greatest episode ever.
Technical difficulties. That's what happens here when we record on a Wednesday. Kong doesn't get to chime in with what he thinks happened to Kate. But I was thinking about that because I get frustrated when anything happens to, like, my icons on my phone or on my computer. It's the littlest thing that you're just like, oh, well, this is the end of the world. Like, the smallest little inconveniences are just terrible.
Oh, yeah. Bad cheesesteak, a moved toggle button on your phone. It's all terrible. But I'm going down there for a Hooters photo shoot, chaps.
Oh, whoa. You are? What are you going to do with that?
You'll just have to wait and see. But I finally grew tits. Look at me now. I'm doing a Hooters photo shoot. So that's happening down in Philly. They're sponsoring the Philly Sportsbook House. So very wholesome activity. Heading to a gambling.
You got the orange shorts, too?
You'll just have to wait and see. But I'll tell you what, it's going to get saucy.
All right.
Okay.
Cons, I think you got to unplug your mic and plug it back in.
Did you try blowing on it? Cons, wrap your mouth around it. And then cup the bottom of it with your hand, your left hand. And then tickle the wire a little bit. Anything? He's doing it, you guys who are listening. He's doing that right now.
Okay, sorry, I'm back.
We got Cons on here. Now we're getting ready to go to the actual show. We're going to start off because when is Halloween?
It's this weekend.
Oh, my God, is it?
Saturday. But does it even matter?
No.
Does it even matter?
It doesn't. I don't even think you're legally allowed to do Halloween.
Halloween is my favorite. And two things are breaking my heart this year. One, you can't really do much about it. It's not like you can go nut to butt at some party somewhere. And the second thing is this is one of my biggest blackout nights of the year. This is where I go out for the night and I pack, like, ahead of time. I'm putting burgers in my pockets because who knows where I'm going to wind up. I'm going to need sustenance. I have, like, a Gatorade in my purse.
Pocketbook burgers?
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Old PBBs.
Yep. You never know. So this is a night where I prepared to go out and I knew, who knows, I'll wake up at home, but who knows what I'll do in the in-between. And
Cons, off the top of your dome, your favorite Halloween of all time. What was your favorite costume that you ever did? As a child, an adult.
I never really had good costumes, very honestly.
Kate?
I just didn't.
My favorite costume was probably when my dad made me a basketball going through an actual regulation hoop, and my head was inside a real basketball. And the fumes from the freshly cut basketball, I had the neck of my shirt was soaked in drool. I don't think I should have been in there. I think it might be why I am the way I am now. But it was a fucking sweet costume. Another one was slutty Swiss cheese. That one, still one of my favorites.
That's a good one. But that one wasn't when you were a child, because that would be awkward.
Oh, yeah,
a little bit awkward.
Sorry
about that. Yeah, I had some decent ones. I had some decent ones as an adult, but definitely not as a child. I have a take, and I think I might surprise you guys with this take. I think once you're older than maybe, I'll say 28, Halloween no longer matters. Because at that point,
unless you have
most
kids.
People, oh yeah, kids, no. I'm talking about like the whole like, Halloween's something to look forward to.
I don't
think so at all.
Because misers about this. It's the one night of the year where you can dress up and be somebody else for a whole night, and it's not some kinky sex thing.
Yeah, but who,
but
like,
why
do you need to do that?
Who
cares?
You just said you went as slutty Swiss cheese.
Well, it can be, but you know what I mean. It's so much fucking fun. Oh, I never.
I agree. I like it. I do like the adult. If you have fun friends who take it seriously. Like, if you have people who show up like Jim Halpert did in The Office when he shows up as three-hole punch Jim, then get it out of here. Mm-hmm. But if you have a group of friends and five of them are like Kate and you know when they come over, everybody's going to be dressed to the nines, I think that's fun. Same type of thing of going to the ball. If you have a group of military friends who love going to the ball, who actually want to dance and have a good time and take in the history, it's the fucking best. But if you go with these Lance Corporals that are still wearing their fucking service alphas and their service uniforms because they don't want to pay for the dress blues, then they suck and you suck along with them. But if you have a good time, you have a good time.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
I will say there was one time I was dressed as Richard Simmons and I saw four individuals in drag as the Golden Girls and they nailed it. And I took it upon myself to, at the bar we were at down on 6th Street, to go up on stage with the band and lead the entire bar in Sweat Into the Oldies. That was probably the last time I had a lot of fun on Halloween.
It's the best. Oh,
that is
God.
The best.
I'm not. No. It's definitely not the best. Like in terms of like holidays ranked, it's not. It might not even be top five.
I'd say for me personally, as like my last 10 years, I would say Halloween is by far my favorite. Like with my family and things like that, those are the memories that I'll look back and be like, oh yeah, Cardi was Peppa Pig. Like I love that.
You guys get into it and do like big group costumes pretty through and through. Like I respect that. I think that's fun. So maybe there's just like a gap in between when you can act like an idiot and then when you have a family and you have kids and you can do it up really big.
I mean, if there's a gap where it's just like, nah. 38 years old was going out to bars and shit dressed up, that would be creepy as hell.
If I wasn't pregnant,
a good look.
If I wasn't pregnant, I would absolutely be doing that for sure. Also, I have a video coming out this weekend where I'm scaring people all around the office. I've been eating all the Halloween candy. It's so much fun. I sent all my nieces and nephews and godkids like a bunch of pranks so they can prank their parents, like the fart powder and the zapping gum and the spiders that jump out. It's just fucking fun. The nuts that are actually a snake that spring out. Come on.
Before we actually get into round one, I need to say what my favorite costume as a child was. It was when I went as Joseph and I brought a hammer with me because he was a carpenter. And it wasn't at Halloween. It was actually at a fall festival.
Was it a real hammer?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. There's a little boy walking around in the dark with a hammer.
Yeah, and I wasn't the kind of kid you wanted to give a hammer and just let loose with it.
Yeah. What do you have in your hand? A knife.
A knife.
Yeah, that was basically my childhood. Yeah. I was that kid.
Yeah. Perfect.
I don't know. Tell me if this is problematic. Seventh grade, me and my two best friends, we all dressed up as very old women and, you know, like had wigs and dresses and high heels.
Also, one year on military base, I got stuck. I was voluntold to be a neighborhood watch for the trick-or-treaters. So, like, all the Lance Corporals and stuff, we all had to stand on corners and wave to all the little kids and make sure they were having a fun and safe Halloween. I loved it.
You love that duty?
It was probably the only voluntold I ever loved. Because, you see,
she was thrilled about seeing the costumes.
The most strange Marine Corps career I've ever heard.
I might have raised my hand and been like, I'll do it, because it's such a treat. But
yeah, seen all their nifty little costumes, and they're so cute.
Goodness gracious. All right, let's get into the actual subject of the day. We're going to start in Fort Leavenworth because we're going to go through some of the most spooky places. I don't even think that we have to say why Fort Leavenworth is creepy, but just the idea of going there. Like, I talked to some of my Army pals who are stationed there. They say every time you actually go by the prison on Fort Leavenworth, it gives you like the heebie-jeebies.
Oh, yeah. And there's a bunch
it's a running thing in the Army. It's just like one of those things. It's not like, hey, you're going to go to prison. It's just like, you do that, you're going to end up in Leavenworth. It's just a running statement that's made in any unit.
Yeah, and there's three main ones that I chose out of all the military.com did this great article about like the most haunted military spaces around the world. It's pretty interesting. This one, after a prisoner uprising during World War II, guards executed one of the 14 prisoners every hour, but ran out of room on the gallows. Holy shit. So they used the elevator shaft in the administration building as an extension. Now, so I'm like, holy fuck. Like, I'm going to have to, is that real? My God. Now soldiers report to hearing screams from the elevator when no one else is around. I legit don't think I'd ever go in that by myself, that elevator. I don't think I would.
Well, I don't know that you would have that much of a choice if you're in Leavenworth. I think you just go where you're told.
Yeah,
well, I think she means as a guard.
As a guard, yeah. No, I'm just, no thank you. And then the Rookery, it's a building that once housed the base commander's quarters. And now,
and that's not a speech impediment thing. It's actually called the Rookery.
It's called the Rookery, and people still live there. It's family housing now. They're supposed to be there the Lady in White, who was tortured and killed by local tribes while soldiers were off post way back in the day. She screams and chases people she sees in the night. And then also in the Rookery are Major Edmund Ogden, who is presumably in command of all the ghosts in the building, and he died in 1855, and a young girl named Rose, her nanny, and a young man called Robert. Rose whistles around the house while Ogden seems to just walk in spurred boots day in and day out. And it's rumored that Major Ogden once asked a team of ghost hunters to leave his house. So Fort Leavenworth. That's...
I will say, I like the idea that even as a ghost, he's keeping everybody in line, chain of command.
True.
Still squared away. They probably still have inspections, ghost inspections.
And one of the worst parts that I can't believe that the military.com didn't include this is one of the most haunted spots in Leavenworth is actually in the bathroom where Moaning Myrtle is still known to be.
In the U-bend, Moaning Myrtle, in the U-bend of the bathroom at the Rookery. Yes, she's there. Yeah. This one, March Air Force Base, this is where I flew in and out of on my way to Afghanistan. Kyle's on his head too. March Air Force Base, what is today a dental clinic, once housed a children's tuberculosis clinic. And once you bring kids into it, that's true. Show me a scary movie with creepy little kids, I'm out. I can't do it.
Oh, that's the reason. What's that? The Ring, where she comes crawling out of the TV? The fuck out of town. That is terrible.
I watched that in the theaters. Fuck that. Yeah. In the basement below was a morgue. Some of the staff have reported seeing ghosts of small children playing in the building at night or hiding objects. But one ghost is less than playful. A teenage girl has reportedly been seen walking around with her face sliced open, talking to herself and searching for the person who cut her.
No thanks.
Yeah.
I'm all set.
Have
on
you
that.
Guys seen that show on Netflix called Ratchet?
Not yet. I'm too afraid to watch it. Is it
my God, dude. Like, I'm not one to get scared, but it's one that's like, it's so creepy and so terrible that it makes your skin like kind of crawl on your body when you're watching it. There's this scene where they take this dude and put him in the bathtub, and it's like an insane asylum. So they put him in the bathtub, and it's got like a steel thing all the way up to his neck where he can't get out, so people who were like suicidal couldn't harm themselves. But they control the temperature, and they turn it up where it's steaming hot.
Oh God.
And then he gets out, and his skin like melts off his body. And it shows it on the show.
What?
And you're just like, oh my God.
This is a random side of, I was recently watching this special on the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, where the people behind the scenes, like the producer and the lighting guy and the music guy, it was like a pop-up video. As you watched it, they were there live telling you about it. And they said, it's in my mind, it's one of the goriest movies. They said, pay attention. You never actually see any gore, because they take you right up until that point, because they said what your mind comes up with is way worse than anything they could ever show you. And I think that's true too. Like, you imagine what happens next, and it's probably worse than whatever they could have shown. Mm-hmm. But yeah, creepy. Now, Helmand Province, people. We're moving on to a haunted spot in Afghanistan. The 2-8 Marines in Helmand reported seeing...
I thought you were just going to say Helmand and we're going to move on, because that's all you really got to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, that's all you got to say.
Helmand is spooky enough. And then...
Yeah. If it gets added to the Marine Corps birthday message, that's all you got to say.
That's all you got to say. The 2-8 Marines in Helmand reported figures speaking Russian at Observation Point Rock. They found graves at the site, considered cursed by locals because of unending amount of bones constantly dug up there. There's a photo, and there's Marines, and they're standing in dirt, and there's just arms and legs and skulls coming out of the ground. The rock, as it came to be known, was a reported site of the Afghan Mujahideen executing Russian soldiers during the Russian occupation. Because of the bones and the strange sightings, it became known as the Haunted OP. But it wasn't just the Marines seeing or hearing things. Even the British Welsh Guards, who came to the OP before the Marines, reported the same shit. And unexplainable lights in their night vision goggles. I just picture, it's weird enough being on post alone, even at the barracks at like 2 a.m, when you're standing around and you hear a noise. That, but on a post in Afghanistan, hard pass. Especially
dude, when they used to make us as Lance Corporals go out and do scouting in the middle of the Okinawa jungles and the caves and shit. Oh my
no
God, because caves make things bounce. That's the reason why the bear Jew was hit the baseball bat against the cave wall. Like, it just makes you, that noise of anything bouncing off and that type of echo is already creepy. You add you're in a foreign country in the middle of the jungle. Oh, goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the dark, I don't know. It just hits different in some of these places.
Well,
whenever
I first got to Japan, like, we would do scouting. It was the perfect spot to teach your dog how to find people, because there was caves. And you could go in with your moonbeam for Kyle. You can go in there with your flashlight, and you could scan across. And if you did it, at least 15, 20 snake eyes you would see.
Oh,
like the hot little snakes in there. Like, every time you would go in there and you flash your light, you could see their little beady eyes like sticking out. And I'm terrified of snakes. So I was just like, I can't do this shit. Like, I don't want to do it. I look like the biggest pussy in the world.
Old Indiana Jones head ass there.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Did either of you ever have any ghost sightings by anybody?
So the barracks I lived in freshman year of college are haunted, and they don't actually let somebody, anybody live in the one room anymore because it's haunted.
What?
And that was the barracks I lived in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we actually went there when we went to Colorado, Kate.
Oh. Oh, you're right. Yes, the dorms. Right. Yes, that's yeah. correct. We were over at the Dormski, and there was a spooky dorm, and that was Kanz's room, Air Force Academy. Okay. Also, in closing, top five spookiest sounds, the ones that really scare you in the military. Number five, pounding on your door in the morning. Mm-hmm. That'll scare you. Number four, pounding on your door in the middle of the night. That means somebody in your unit has really fucked up. Number three, pounding on your door during the lunch break because you're probably taking a nap. You shouldn't be. Number two, pounding on your door when you're having sex in there after hitting a bong. That'll get you. That's scary. Mm-hmm. Number one, incoming. Scary sound. Confirm.
My least favorite sound was my drill instructor, the kill hat, the third hat. His name was Staff Sergeant Wiley. And he would always, he mispronounced my name the entire time that I was in boot camp. And he would always go, whenever he was gonna fuck me up, he would just say it real low and it would echo like that in the middle of the night. And I found out, he told me the reason why at the end, because he was also like ordained, like he was an ordained pastor in the Marine Corps, and so he would just mess me up to see if I would break. And he told me at the end, like, that that's the reason why he did it.
That's kind of a cool nickname.
There's your crow. That's probably the scariest sound for drill instructors.
Yeah, they probably wake up in the middle of the night and go,
yeah.
All right, let's move on to round number two. We're going to go out to San Diego. This story came across, and we've talked about it before. I don't mind stolen valor if you're just getting free donuts and stuff like that at the gas station. I don't mind it if you're hanging out at the mall and you want some compliments. I do mind it when you're defrauding the government on an unbelievable scale, and that's what happened out in San Diego. An unbelievable scale. Kate?
Coming to us from Christina Davis at the San Diego Union Tribune. The owner of a San Diego tech training school was sentenced to 45 months in prison for orchestrating a vast scheme that invented fake students, jobs, and employers to cheat the VA out of nearly $30 million. $30 million.
Like, what'd you get to one? Just stop. Just walk away.
We'll find out in this story, it was probably just so easy that she's like, one.
It's like that
two,
in Fight Club when they take one tenth of a penny off of everything.
Well, right. The lengths that this guy went to do it, well, you'll hear in a minute, pretty impressive. But he $30 million in GI Bill benefits. The case against Nimesh Shah, age 37, owner of Blue Star Learning in Miramar. I hear that name right away. I'm like, it's a fraudulent school, fraudulent GI Bill.
But also fantastic, and it should be the name of a brewery.
Blue Star. Yes, you're right. I would drink a crispy cold Blue Star.
Come down to Texas and drink a Blue Star at Austin Brewery? Come on.
Barbecue and a Blue Star? Blue Star barbecue? Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. It's in my mind. Anyways, it appears to be one of the largest frauds involving the GI Bill ever in the nation. Institutions, quick background on it. Institutions receiving GI Bill funding must have at least 15% of its student body be non-veterans to test the value of the education in an open market and help prevent fraud. However, almost 100% of the students at Blue Star Learning were veterans.
Dude, if you walk into a classroom and they're like, all right, who's all served? And everyone, 85 out of 100 put their dick skinners in the air, I'm leaving. Like, that's not a place I want to be.
Yeah, that's already a little shady. But
that's like a higher percentage than that, like a VFW.
How did he get away with it, though? Weren't people checking in to see? Well, to create the illusion that he met that requirement, that he had at least 15% civilian students, he created fake non-veteran students, fabricating enrollment agreements and student files with non-existent names, birthdays, socials, emails, and other personal info. Also, eligible schools have to be accredited yearly. They check in on this yearly. So to comply, Shah created fictional graduates and hired people overseas to pose as satisfied alumni, with fake emails.
I bet Donnie Does is in that group.
Donnie Does must be. In addition, this he's not even done. He like really went all out on this. He created 30 fake companies where these graduates were employed. He asked Blue Star Learning, and he asked a fellow employee there to buy 30 cell phones, and then they created 30 separate voicemail greetings to create these people to make them seem real in case the accreditation agency called. In reality, the vast majority of actual graduates were working in jobs not related to the training at all, and they charged up to $20,560 per course. Per course. So pretty fucking crazy. Not great at all.
Anytime I see a story like this, though, I immediately think, if you have the intelligence and the work ethic and the energy to go through all these hoops to do something fake like this, just put all that energy towards something legal and you'll probably be at least half as successful.
Right?
You know, $15 million, you could probably survive on that with decent living.
Yeah, but I think it's kind of like what I did with Longtime Toolies. Like, if you would have said at the beginning of it that I was going to build everything that's in my backyard, I'd have said, fuck you. Like, I'm not going to do that. He probably started off with just going to be one or two classes where he was getting extra money. Next thing you know, he's roped in and creating fucking fake accounts and he's calling up his pals in Bosnia. Take a couple
pictures. This is like a somewhat of a Bernie Madoff situation, though, where you just get so engulfed by the whole scenario that you probably at some point just wake up and think, I hope I get caught today because I'm exhausted.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he probably woke up and looked around like, oh, I think Brick killed the guy.
And it had to be exhausting. Even his wife was in on it. She was the VP and the director of education at the school.
Of course. So you don't walk home from Blue Star Learning with $20 million and your wife's like, oh, yeah, this makes sense. Cool. You're doing a great job, honey, at your fucking school that's in an old Sears.
This makes me think, though, there's so much fraud out there. This one happened to get caught. There's so much fraud and there's so many accreditation companies checking in on people. I bet you there's a whole industry, like somewhere in India or something, where people are just fake people answering.
Why has it got to be India, Kate? Why has it got
to
be India?
Well, because listening to podcasts.
I mean, the odds are that's like one in every six person on the planet. Like,
no, you're right. No, the numbers alone support that. But the fact that they're able to not check this, I just feel like in 2020, you can pretty easily figure out if somebody's real or made up. I don't know.
Me and Kyle had a little conversation last week where there was this on Facebook, there was this company selling a product and it looked exactly like the other website. I'm a pretty smart fella, been around the block a few times, and I went through and I was like, I need to send this to Kyle. This is an unbelievable deal. And then I Googled at the last moment. I was like, don't do it, Kyle. Like before you don't do it. This place is a big time scam. But I haven't told Kyle this. I just wanted to see what would happen with this place. So I had a gift card for $50 on Visa. I went to that website. I still ordered it. Wouldn't you know it? There was tracking that left some city that starts with a G in China. It's in Chicago. Like this package is in Chicago with actual USPS tracking number, and it's supposed to be here on Friday. If something actually comes, my mind will be blown. If not, it's the greatest scam because I've been watching this tracking number for at least 2 weeks now.
Oh yeah.
I think I know how that's going to end because this is a pretty popular scam out of China where they send you something and it's not the right thing. It's like a box of bolts or whatever, just crap. And then they say, okay, yeah, we'll send you another one. And then by the time you figure out that it's a scam, the 30 or 60 days or whatever for you to run that as fraudulent with your credit card company is over. So.
Not
you know,
nice.
It's not fraudulent. Our friends over at Hawthorne, whenever you get stuff with them, it's not going to be fraud. It's going to be legit because you go up to their website and you enter in all kinds of stuff. Like if you like to go to a bar, and this is all pre-COVID, so you don't have to actually currently be doing this stuff. If you like to go to a library, if you like to go to discotheques like Kate does, she's a big discotheque lady, you can put that into the website and they are going to tell you what kind of scent. I did it because I honest to God thought this was a scam. Like, I was like, this is one of those things, like a Cosmo quiz, you know, like to see if your relationship's good or not,
yeah.
Where mm-hmm. no matter what you put in, it's always going to be Rachel and Joey or Rachel and Ross were on a break. Like, you get the same exact answer every time. So I went back in several times, changed up my answer. Different scents. Right now, I currently have one that smells like pine and cedar. Like, how? I mean.
Delicious.
That's me to a T, pine and cedar. Mm-hmm. It smells wonderful. You need to go. It comes in fancy boy packaging. You get face cream. They, and I'm going to be honest again because I know they're going to listen. They gave me and Cons $300. Cons, how many things did you order?
A whole bunch. Dude,
I have so much sunscreen. I'm just going to, like, next summer, if we're still doing quarantine, I'm going to be sunscreening all the kids. Be like, put your little hand out. I'm going to sunscreen you right now.
Well, do you want to hear what I did? Because they also gave me the sweet deal. Oh. I, ladies, if you're listening and the holidays are coming up, if you want to get if you want to get your man something nice, but you don't love his cologne right now, and or you think maybe he's a little funky,
I fired at Pat.
I took the quiz and I tailored it exactly to how I wanted him to smell.
Wow. Okay. What a great idea. So,
His little beaver tail
is going to smell like cedar. Like cedar now.
No, I got to tell you, I'm weird about what I use in the shower and after the shower, and I kind of really get into it. This is some of the best stuff, if not the best stuff I've ever had. It's unbelievable.
He's loving it. So legit loving it.
Kate, let's do the phonetic alphabet just to help the people out at home. What's Hawthorne.co with the phonetic alphabet?
Hot dog. Alphabet. Whoa. Tacos.
No, you missed the letter there. Horny.
Oxygen. Rodeo. Neat. Excellent.
.co, promo code zero. You're going to get a great deal there. You're going to get 10% off. It's an incredible product at an incredible price. Make sure that you get it. Let's move on to round number three. This one really got my juices flowing because I love, there's certain chow halls that had legitimately phenomenal food. Like, I've been to some that were really good. Like, if you have a cook there who cares about what they're doing, it was good. There's one here called the Blue Bonnet, and they used to have cheesesteaks that were absolute fire. They would use provolone. They would use good quality steak, good quality fresh rolls and things like that. Conversely, I've been to some chow halls that you might as well just steamed up some testicles and threw it in some menudo. It was terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
And it really does. Your chow has such a genuinely huge effect on morale because oftentimes on certain weeks, it's all you got. It is legit.
It really is.
The only bright spot of your whole fucking month might be taco night at the fucking chow. Or it was lasagna Fridays for us. The guys would literally skip to the, it's lasagna day. Like, people, it matters. It really matters. So,
it does.
This fellow went super viral for a post about food aboard the USS Nimitz. So I don't know if anybody wants to read that story, but I posted all the photos at the top, so you guys have to look at these photos of the food before you read the story.
Yeah, so this comes from Facebook. He said, if you ever wondered what food is like on a U.S. Navy ship, here it is. The USS Nimitz. This is all the food myself for one of my close friends were served. This was served while we were deployed or at sea. Food is one of the only things we look forward to when you're out there. This is unacceptable for the men and women putting their lives on the line. I want to bring awareness to the problem. Somewhere higher up needs to get this. Military or not, please share. So the first picture that he has, I got to be honest, if it's steak, it's not that bad. Like, if it's steak, it's a little red. I know Kate's not a big red steak fan, but I would prefer this to the so many different chow halls that really overcooked it. However,
agreed.
You know this was on a ship, and it wasn't probably stored in the best way.
And there's blood splatter on the tray. You can see the blood just dripping off
no,
of it.
No.
It looks
there's
like
nothing
you,
wrong with a little blood
no,
coming
it
out
looks
of
like
the steak.
You reached,
yes.
It's gross and lumpy. You can see the fat all over it. It looks like somebody reached into my body and pulled this out of my...
Yeah, but you're kind of the worst one to comment on this stuff because you're
don't
weird about food.
Defend this garbage food. Look at the next thing. It's
okay, yeah, the next one's bad. It's salmon, and you can have salmon like raw, like sashimi, But
if it's sushi grade.
Yeah, it's got to be sushi grade, and it's got to be pretty fresh to do it. This is not that. This is just one of those frozen little bricks of salmon that probably cost 99 cents at your local dollar store, and they threw it on there. And that's not even – it's insulting, this rice ball that they put on there. This rice ball on the plate – looks like they just took a ice cream scoop and just did rice. No flavor, no anything. No. Just rice and an uncooked frozen salmon stick.
That's the saddest looking rice ball I've ever seen.
And
ball of rice.
More and more, there's corn dogs that are literally just two charcoal burnt things on a stick. There's mold all over pitas. And it's clearly like still set out. Like whoever put that there saw the mold and left it there. There's a dish that looks like egg yolks covered in mold, covered in something I would vomit hungover.
No, those are just hard-boiled eggs that have gone bad. That's what the gray egg whites are.
Chicken wings that look like
gray whites.
Chicken wings that look like they were bitten into and then put back on the tray. Meats, undercooked meats, mold, bugs. I mean, this was just heinous. Scrolling. And the part that really got me, besides the hamster, everybody, the Navy loves their hamsters with the hair clumps all over it and the green bread, was that this guy said this was just photos from me and my buddy. This wasn't crowdsourced from across the Navy. This was just the experience of, like, a couple people on the same ship. Holy fuck. It's
horrendous. Yeah, it's really unfortunate, too, because, like, you go out on a ship, they're not, like, you know, stopping somewhere to pick up fresh food. So whatever they have, this is probably what the problem is. Wasn't in the Navy, thank God. But what you have, that's just what you got. I don't know if they get airdrops from aircraft coming in or what have you, but they're probably just at a point where they don't have anything else, so it's either serve this terrible, disgusting old food or
starve. That's an excuse
for,
like, the moldy stuff. Like, you can't keep things more fresh. Not exactly an excuse for the uncooked salmon or steak.
Oh. No. Or the big hairball in what appears to be, I don't know.
This is a failure in leadership, I believe, on the enlisted side, too. There's got to be somebody, an EAE-9 senior chief or master chief, that finds out who the staff and COIC, the chief in charge of the mess is. You got to go down there and just go bananas on that person.
Yeah.
Like, there's certain times where if you are a senior, if you're a staff and CO and you get screamed at by another staff and CO, it just slaps differently. Like, it really does. Because you get to the place where you don't usually get yelled at like that much. When you get put in your fucking place real quick in front of others, you'll get your shop in order in a heartbeat.
I just don't know how you could be a functioning human and serve this food, these pictures.
Yeah, why do you need to be told this is unsatisfactory?
Right. It's not like they're like skirting the line here, like, oh, maybe that bread's a little old, or, oh, I don't know, maybe that chicken's a little undercooked. This is just blatant disregard for human standards.
Yeah, I don't know. Not great, though.
Do you guys ever see that movie Down Periscope?
No.
No.
Oh, all right. Well, that's a good jokey comedy Navy movie about being on a submarine, and their cook was a little bit gross. He had, like, fingernails in the food and stuff. So.
One more comment, because I just saw the hamster pic.
Yeah.
It's how do you even get that much hair on one of those things? Like, if I went and Kate didn't know how to make a sock bun, I took Kate's hair and attempted to make a sock bun with one of these hamsters, it would not have that much hair on it. Like, it,
you know what it looks like?
It looks like somebody brushed their hair after the shower with the hamster.
So that's what it looks like. It looks like somebody was cooking, brushed their hair mid-hamster, and then picked the hair out of the brush and thought they were throwing it away, and it got blown by a fan into the tray of hamsters.
Either way, I'm like vomiting in my mouth again looking at it. I can't. Not great.
Maybe. What about, okay, you're a cook and you've hated the last couple months. You've been out on sea. You're on one of these ships. Kate's feeling like she looks like she's going to be sick. Mm-hmm. So you're one of these folks that have been on the longest sea mission ever, where they did like 210 days or whatever. So you're out there that much. You have the opportunity. The whole entire shower room is yourself. Like, but you have to find a way to plug it. The shower, because you have to make the water go up. What's the perfect size of the drain?
A hamster.
How many do they have? 6,320. How many sailors are on board? 6,320. Someone is getting the shower plug hamster.
We need to move on before Kate actually throws up on her screen.
Tastes a little nutty to me. All right, let's move on to round number four. We're going to do a little more food talk. This time, we're going to do a little MRE goof. And some new MREs are hitting. When new MREs hit, that makes people so happy. Like, it's the little things, you know?
You're so used
to your chicken tetrazzini, to your roast, to your spaghetti and meatball. When something new comes out, that stops people in their tracks.
But, Chaps, I think this is going to be a bad one. I think people are going to actually dread this one.
Mm. What is it?
Well, the DOD is working on a brand new lightweight combat ration designed to keep troops fueled up while inevitably ruining your bowels. Naturally, this comes to us from Jared Keller at Task and Purpose. Dubbed the Close Combat Assault Ration. That's a badass sounding ration. Whoa, Close Combat Assault Ration. By researchers at Army's Combat Feeding Directorate, the new rations are designed to reduce a soldier's combat load by
swapping. So what? That's what it's called?
The Army's Combat Feeding Directorate?
The Feeding Directorate?
Direct.
That's like farming shit. Like, like your troops are cattle?
Yep.
Dude, that's how, you see, you guys, you Marines, you don't get it, man. But we got so many people in the Army.
Oh, yeah, us Marines and all of our luxury items.
That's what I'm saying.
The least funded branch of all of them.
What I'm saying is there's just not that many Marines. We got so many people in the Army these days, they're just making up stuff like the Army Combat Feeding Directorate.
Well, maybe if you would have some of your people fight instead of doing all wrestling team for their entire career.
Anyways,
sorry, Jenna.
They're saying MREs are heavy. They're cumbersome. You do field strip them down to make them fit in your pack better sometimes. They are kind of a pain in the ass. So the feeding directorate's trying to reduce that by making nutrient-dense energy bars. So picture the everlasting gobstopper in Willy Wonka, where they take huge meals and they squeeze them down into a tiny little ball. That's essentially...
You're turning violet, Private.
Right, yeah, exactly. They're essentially taking these big meals and they're squeezing them down into little bars. So basically, to accomplish this, they applied an aggressive moisture reduction technology to reduce the weight of individual rations.
They dehydrated it. That's all they did.
But as it's never been before, there is not an ounce of moisture in any of your food now. It is dry as fuck. A spokesman said, you can dial in how...
Not yours specifically, Kate. Virginia's a lovely woman.
She's very lovely.
Sorry.
She's a saint!
She's a saint. This is great for soldiers in terms of lighter loads. Go ahead. Okay. but this is also terrible for soldiers in terms of lighter loads at the latrine. After all, dehydration is a leading cause of constipation, which, as we know, how red am I, is a scientifically proven consequence of consuming conventional MREs. So basically, if you look at the photos, it looks like, again, like a whole meal squeezed down into teeny, teeny, tiny little bars. It looks like they suck. And
it looks like somebody at the feeding trough or whatever the fuck they call that organization had the idea they're eating a string cheese. And you're like, you know what? What if we did this with fish?
Yeah, fuck it. Why not? Put a hamster in here. Squeeze it down. Make it small. The more dehydrated it is, and this is near and dear to my heart, because the MREs stopping you up thing because of all the preservatives and the lack of moisture if you're not hydrating right. Mm-hmm. That's true. Mm-hmm. Who among us?
I never had that problem. It never gave me constipation. I've always had a very regular cycle of waste.
Well, whatever you officers are eating, I don't know. But down here,
I was eating the MREs too.
Down here as a working woman, I couldn't poop for weeks after the meal. But constipation, folks.
Let's talk about it.
I got a couple notes. Nobody told me that when you get pregnant, you can't poop. Nobody told me that.
I didn't know that until you.
I'm sitting here working up a sweat for a marble, okay?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. And this is because the hormone progesterone during pregnancy, it relaxes all your body's muscles, and that includes your intestines, so it slows down your digestion, meaning your body has more time to suck the moisture out of the food in your intestines, which means all of a sudden you've got rocks sitting in there. Like, your turds are just rocks. You can't get them out. You got dry ass pebbles. It's a lot. It's a lot. Also, fun fact, the longest human poop ever recorded was 26 feet.
Kate. 26 feet?
What?
Look at the photos I put in.
26 feet.
Look at the photos of this poop. It's very graphic. Oh. You actually see it coming out of the butt. So I'm glad our viewers, our listeners can't see it.
This is something you would have seen on E-Bomb's World back in the
day.
That's
a long one.
Basically, the person says, in February 1995, working in conjunction with nutritionists at U Michigan, Ann Arbor, I adopted a super rich fiber diet, which allowed me to successfully produce a single extruded excrement 26 feet long.
Now, how amazing would you feel, though, at the end of that?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like the relief? Especially if it was like George Brett said it in a nice taper, like at the end where it just comes off clean. Unreal. Yeah.
Unreal. Yeah. I would say that's an MRE poop if you ever seen one. I'm sure somebody in the military has had one longer than 26 feet. Also, I did not fact check.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. Fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a quick poop story if you guys are up for it.
Yeah, of course.
Sure.
So my one good buddy, he's got a nephew. I forget how old he is,
only
but
one
he is just
that's sad.
Wow, yeah. Loser.
He just recently got potty trained, maybe within the last few months or whatever. And my buddy was over at his sister and brother-in-law's house, goes to the bathroom, notices that there is, you know, a poop in the toilet, and clearly the young boy had been in there before him, but there was no toilet paper. So my buddy uses the toilet and then comes back out and tells his brother-in-law, like, hey, you know, no big deal. It didn't bother me, but I just want to let you know, when so-and-so used the toilet, he didn't use toilet paper. There was just nothing in that. So he goes, again? So apparently this is a thing. And he goes up to this kid and he goes, why did you use toilet paper? He goes, oh, no, Dad, don't worry. It was clean poop. So apparently this kid is big
pinched
on clean
him
poops.
Off clean.
I mean, yeah, that's what you got to do. I mean, you're
clean
as
poop,
a
Dad.
Father,
clean
you're
poop.
Proud. Or a mother. You're proud of your kid for getting that out of there. It's amazing. All right,
not
let's move on to something else
paper.
That's amazing, and it's Rocky Boots. Our friends at Rocky Boots are incredible. They are for the men and women who are serving the country. I actually saw them in a store. They had I was in Academy, and they had a big Rocky Boots section. And I think they had like 7 or 8. I tried them all on because sometimes we get offered like, which product do we want to try out? And I wanted to know, like, for sure, the cowboy boots that they have, the most comfortable cowboy boots ever. Like, they're like narrow, a size 7.5. They fit me perfectly. You need to get your own. It's designed and built for each one of the military's branches, whether you're a Marine, Army, Navy, sailor, soldier, or whoever. You can go and check those out. The Rocky Boot is USMC compliant, which most things aren't, so that's actually pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
They are giving it to you at 25% off your next pair, which is incredible. So whether you're just wrecking in the desert or you're just doing it around Fort Leavenworth and you're dealing with ghosts and shit like that, make sure your feet are taken care of, because that's what Lieutenant Dan says is the most important. Our feet, we take care of them with good socks and good boots, both of which you can find at rockyboots.com with the code ZBT. We're going to move on to the Air Force Academy, Khan's beloved Air Force Academy, and this one has to deal with heated blankets. Now, there was a tweet that came across. I'm sure, I mean, all the branches are pretty cold places. I mean, Naval Academy, not really, Maryland, but the Army at West Point, you're on the Hudson. It's cold as fuck. Like, we all, Kate and I went to the Air Force Academy. Khan's has obviously been there too. So that place is
freezing
cold as hell. We actually couldn't do a lot of the things that we were going to do because there's like an ice storm that
came
freezing. Through.
Yeah.
So we couldn't do a lot of the things we were supposed to do. And weeks before that, they had the entire place shut down because of big-time snowstorms that came through. It was the first time they didn't have classes. So it does get cold. In the mountains, it does get cold. They made a mistake, though. I think that there's certain information that in order to guard like the toughness and the veracity in which you train, you cannot put on social media. If you want to call all hands and have like the platoon leaders or whatever the fuck they call it, flight commanders, announce to the people that are going to school there, the cadets, if you say, hey, if you want to come down, we got some heated blankets, you can pick one up. I think that's fine. Like, and it's taking care of your troops, it's doing all that stuff. You can't put it on social media. Not yeah. when you're the Air Force and you already get roasted. You just can't do it.
This is like if your mom brings diarrhea medicine to school.
Yeah.
Hey, just put it in a paper bag. Leave a note. We'll get it to me. Instead of going on the intercom being like, Kate, your diarrhea medicine is at the front desk, blah, blah, blah. This is that.
That reminds me, you want to know how my wife got so tough? Because she is tough. She'll put me in my place yes. in a heartbeat. Her mom used to send her to school with one of the like thermoses, like from the lunchbox yep. thermos, with yeah. hot water and hot dogs inside of it, like as her lunch.
Ugh.
And only like slices of bread that was wrapped in tinfoil, and that was her lunch. Imagine my cute little wife being 7 years old and having to open it up in the middle of the cafeteria, and she's the stinky hot dog water girl.
Oh, no.
Just that sounds
the
like
stares
the,
you would get. Ugh.
Sounds like something a naval ship would do for Chow.
Yeah.
Seriously.
They'd probably like to have it on the old Nimitz.
Yeah, that would yeah. be a treat for them. Holy shit.
Can I tell you, though, too, like aside from the Air Force just being really soft on this one, the amount of money spent
that's
to buy heated
money.
Blankets,
yeah.
those can't be cheap, those heated blankets.
Well, also, government-bought heated blankets. I would not trust myself to fall asleep with one of those suckers plugged in.
Oh, yeah, they're either going to...
It's like one of those... Yeah, it's not, like that dough ball kit that they have on Arrested Development where you just burn yourself.
Really, though, the feeling is some people were saying, Pauly Sound said, probably because the heat was broken there. There might have been some sort of issue with the heating in their dorms, which I wouldn't be that shocked to find out. But somebody said, Noah, not Harrison H., said, we can't continuously slam the Air Force for treating their people with respect while burying the other branches for our substandard living conditions. I'm hammered, by the way.
I think he's absolutely right. I think we do.
We're jealous.
It's jealousy.
We're jealous.
Yeah, like there's nothing intrinsically makes you tougher because you slept in a barracks that had mold for 3 years.
Like right.
That doesn't do anything for the training at all. So that being said, we came up with a few each of the things that we're jealous of other branches about. So Cons cannot mention the Army. He can only do the Air Force, Navy, and Marines. And we can only do the other branches that aren't the Marine Corps. So Kyle, we'll start with you. What are your two things that you're jealous of the other branches about?
So I know in the Navy, I think at E4, you can get BAH and live out in town. Either that's true
that's
or...
That's dependent. That's
yeah, right.
dependent on unit.
But you're an E4 in the Marine Corps. No
not happening,
fucking
yeah.
way are you getting out of the barracks if you're not
Unless
married.
Unless you work in admin. They know how to pull all those strings.
Yeah, well, fuck admin. and then the second thing, probably like... Being in Manis Air Force Base and just seeing how senior airmen interacted with junior airmen blew my dick off. What the fuck? They got talked to like human beings, and that did not sit with me. So
yeah, when I first got to Lackland and I started screaming at people like I normally would on a Marine base, and there's an E-8 in the Air Force that pulled me aside. He was like, look. I don't care what you do when you're inside the Marine Corps barracks, but when you're in my building and the Air Force like owns the school, he's like, you're not going to scream at anybody.
Which,
and I
oh,
was
yeah.
like, what the fuck? Like everybody told me I was awesome before. Like,
yeah, right.
that.
Yeah. No, I don't know how I'm kind of conflicted because on one hand you have to have that, but on the other, it'd kind of be nice to be talked to like an adult every once in a while, you know?
Yeah.
And not be terrified that you're going to get your face
right
if you make
right.
the tiniest little mistake.
So, yeah, those are my two.
Still confident.
Yeah, mine, those are good, Kyle.
I'm going to piggyback right off Kyle here, just so okay. I can say I'm going to piggyback. But also because Manis in Kyrgyzstan is one of mine as well, the Air Force base there. The Air Force also had in their chow hall full-sized candy bars.
Yeah.
I don't know, Whoa. Kyle, so, if you got that
I have
there.
No, I have a really quick story about that. So
yes,
I'm
please.
There with my buddy Radical Larry. Called him Radical Larry. And,
that's a great name.
Yeah.
Great that's
name.
A great
and
name.
My buddy Tuck.
To be fair, though, any adjective and Larry is a great name.
Yeah. His
yeah.
name
yeah.
wasn't Larry, True. Though, but we called
okay,
him
Okay, even better.
Yeah. So Radical Larry grabs a full-size Snickers bar, and we hadn't seen candy bars in months because they'd melt and get to us like poop. You know, they just
right.
look like shit. So mm-hmm. we're walking back to the
no
big
offense,
to the big tents. And Tuck's like, hey, man, can I have your Snickers bar? And Radical Larry wouldn't let him have it. Finally, he relented and gave it to him. So Tuck's got his candy bar. He throws it over the fucking HESCO barrier. It's like, I didn't want your stupid fucking candy bar.
Classic.
So poor Radical Larry.
Classic Radical Larry.
That's a classic joke, though.
Anyway, yeah.
To yeah. ruin something someone loves for no reason yeah. is one of my favorite
things. It
was
great. Real touching.
But yeah, full-size candy bars at Manus that cause all sorts of riffraff and trouble. That was a delight. And then in going to Army bases for training and stuff, and seeing at Fort Leonard Wood how casual the drill instructors were with the troops there, just talking to their recruits or whatever, like just back on the block, like no big deal.
Blew my mind at school. Like absolutely blew my mind.
That, and then seeing the recruits on their cell phones and stuff going by their barracks on the, and I'm like, oh my God, what? And then their loose hair standards for ladies. Really a shame Army get it together.
Oh, wow. Kate brand shaming. I love it. Conch, what about you?
The Air Force living situation deployed, they had actual mattresses where I had, you wouldn't call it a mattress. It was kind of just like a foam piece of foam.
The mattress
topper type thing, where it was, you know, just a couple inches thick, and they had actual mattresses. So I was pretty jealous of that.
Must be nice. We only had cots or the ground.
Mm-hmm. And then also, any post location in the Marines or the Navy, especially when you consider some of the places. All right, I'll say the Navy. Okay. I'll say the Navy. Yeah. Okay, I'll say the Navy. Yeah.
What?
Careful.
All right, I'll say the Navy. Because I think a lot of times the Marines are a lot of places the Navy are, but we'll call them just the Navy ports, just because they're in the best places we got.
True.
And when you're talking about Fort Leonard Wood or Fort Polk, just about
I'd say stateside Army has the worst bases. Stateside, you do, like, by far, because we have, like, in Jacksonville, North Carolina, at least there's the beach. Like, you can go to the Atlantic Ocean and be there. You can't do that in a lot of the places, like Fort Drum. Where the fuck you going? Nowhere.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not going anywhere. And we have San Diego. Like, two of our bases are in San Diego. Oddly enough, that's one of mine is bases, because I would have loved to go to Europe, and you guys have a ton, like the Army has a shit ton of spots in Europe. So does the Air Force. So does the Navy, place you can go. I'd have loved to go to Italy or something like that. That was never an option. Number two for me, coming in, the idea that you can come into the military with as much college as I had, enlist and become an E4 right out the gate, that made me jealous, because at best you're going to be a Lance Corporal, and that's super, super rare. So starting off with that much of a head start would have been awesome. And the last one, I'm going to cheat and do three. Everybody else has amazing base pools, and ours are just terrible.
That's terrible. A great point. Yeah, that's a great point.
I actually had another one, but it kind of doesn't really apply anymore because I think we've improved. But in terms of dress uniforms, I would have said the Marines, or actually even the Navy too, because the dress uniforms the Army used to have. Now, I think the pinks and greens look pretty
cool.
Greens.
Discount.
Yeah, they're
pretty
cool.
Discount service alphas. You guys just copied our shit.
I would say it goes like still dress blues, then pinks and greens. The Navy's. I fucking hate the Navy's.
Yeah, you're right. Navy's just basically like a double-breasted
stupid
suit.
Stupid fucking circle hat that you put beans in. What's that about?
Yeah.
Navy sucks.
Popeye-ass-looking motherfuckers.
All white? Who thought of that? Like, why would you want to wear all white?
Spaghetti day? Forget it.
And the Chiefs having to wear a different color uniform? Okay, buddy. Like, what makes you so fucking special? Like, oh, look at me. I'm an ESEP. Nobody else does that. You have to dress different every day.
All khaki? Is that
all yourself
khaki?
A target. Like Jessup said, he eats fucking breakfast 200 yards away from Cubans who are killed to train them by sight. You want to make it easier and put a target on their head? I don't think so.
And in the all khaki, they look like Soviet factory workers anyways. So
I agree.
True.
I'm glad we really got this all out of our system, guys. Feels like we had a lot of pent up.
This was therapeutic.
Now we can go back to just talking
again.
I'll tell you what, I'd give anything.
For a clean poop?
Just a good old 26 footer.
Just a real honker would be bellissima. Yeah.
Speaking of the Navy, I got a yacht in my gut.
I got a submarine poking out. Oh, the ice.
Let's go with Save Your Hounds Alibis. We'll start with Kate. What do you got?
Nothing really. Heading down to Philly. Appreciate you guys recording a little bit early here. Heading down to Philly for my first sexy, saucy Hooters shoot. See how that turns out.
I love Hooters wings, by the way. I know
boneless
some people don't like
best.
Them. Those aren't wings. Those are chicken tenders.
Mm. Anyway. Mm. No, that's literally it. That's all I got. Yeah.
All right. Cons?
Two. Whoever runs the FBI Twitter, they must hate their life, because how many times during the day does the FBI Twitter get tagged like FBI, come get this guy or girl? And yeah. I mean, it's all innocuous. It's all jokes, but they have to read every mention. So
oh, I don't
that
think they do.
Annoying.
I think there's some accounts that they just don't ever go to the mentions.
I feel like our FBI is a little more thorough than that. Or
oh,
at least
I don't.
I would like to think so.
I don't at all.
Where have you been?
All right, fair. And then lastly, this is actually a question. I'm sure I could have Googled this and got the answer, but that wouldn't have been any fun. Mm. So anyway, I was watching the other night. I was watching Den of Thieves with Gerard Butler and 50 Cent and Pablo Schreiber.
As
it's a great
does,
movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great movie. And all the dudes, the bad guys in the movie, were all Marines. And obviously, at the end of the movie, sorry, spoilers, it's been out forever. It's on Netflix, so check it out. They all die. But they came when they came out of the Marines, they presumably, this is just a scenario. Presumably, they were all honorably discharged. They might have done some things after the Marines. If you die, be it Marines, Army, Navy, whatever, if you're killed doing something like robbing a bank, do you still get honors at your funeral?
Well, you're not convicted of a crime.
Actually, if you do something, for instance, like if you... Your VA benefits, say, for example, you have 70% disability or whatever, and you go to prison for longer than 60 days. At day 60, all of your benefits cease. You don't get
out.
So if you get in certain trouble, then yes, they take them away. And I would say that that would probably be an extension, like that it would be a denial of those services.
Okay. Well, if anybody knows the
and I'm just completely making that up off the top of my head. I mean, the 60 days
thing
is true.
Though. That makes sense, though. Like, why would you honor someone with full military honors?
There is a perfect example. Timothy McVeigh. Like, he could have done that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Interesting.
All right.
Anyway, that's a great movie, I think.
Kyle?
By the way.
So I have two. One, Kate talking about how she liked to get blackout drunk on Halloween and stuff burgers in her pocket. Some people might be alarmed to find that Kate is about to be a mother. However, she has the qualities of a wonderful mother, because when you're a mom or a dad, 90% of your life is just packing every pocket you have with shit. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to need it. That little,
shithead
kid. Yeah.
You teach him how to share.
I know
right.
how to
you get half the pocketbook
show.
Burger, so, I get the other half pocketbook.
Kate,
I'll
I'm
take
excited.
The tops.
Your kids,
no,
yeah.
You.
Hey, Kate, give me some of your tops.
Yeah.
Kate's just going to be like Randy on Trailer Park Boys.
I think you should have your baby call you Kate.
Okay. All right. Fine. Why not?
And then, that'd be hilarious. Hey, Kate.
Can't
be like that kid that was over here. I told you guys about that, right? The kid that was upstairs and he was his friends with McCartney.
Yeah.
And he's like,
yeah.
Hello, Matthew. How are you?
What?
You gotta shake his hand.
You gotta shake his hand. Yeah.
Every time that kid comes over, I'm like, you wild card.
Kind of weird.
Kate, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Assuming you were gonna do a Halloween party this year in your current state, can you think off the top of your head any costumes that you could incorporate the pregnancy into and it would be good?
Yeah, what I wanted to be was a drunk white trash guy with just like a wife beater with my stomach hanging out, like a beer belly, like a trucker hat, and then I was going to have pubes coming up the stomach.
I was going to say nun.
Okay.
I've done a pregnant nun.
Oh,
for my saved round, I am going to send you guys a picture right now that I know you haven't seen, and I want to get the instantaneous reaction
from the
picture.
I love
that
this
I am
so
sending
much.
Right now.
This is great.
I have one. Oh,
oh my goodness gracious.
I
is
love
that
it.
Not the cutest thing
my
in the world?
Melted.
I love these two. Like these
they're
two.
A cartoon.
These,
oh,
I was just going
to
say, they
Dale
can have a cartoon.
On top
these
of
two
Gus.
Can have a cartoon.
Gus and Baby Dale. So to give you an idea, today Dale started off his day in Gus's bed. And Gus was in Baby Dale's bed. Then Baby Dale went over to Gus in his bed. They're together. Laying closer and closer, and now the picture that I just sent out is Baby Dale legitimately sleeping on top of Gus while Gus is asleep too. Just the absolute cutest
so
duo
cute.
Ever.
Yeah.
They're the best.
Oh, so great. I just love watching animals interact because they've clearly formed a bond already. It hasn't been that long, but they have a very great bond. It's almost like Gus is like the parent looking out for the child and gives up the good bed for his kid.
He's just so gentle and like so submissive. Yeah. He doesn't know what to do. Like even when they run around in the yard together, like Dale will run and slide and Gus will just kind of like move his hands like slow. And that's how Gus thinks he's playing. It's just the cutest thing. It makes me so happy. And having an animal in the house just sits on you and lays on you and wants to hang out and just like cuddle all the time. It's the fucking best. It's a big time weekend coming up. Make sure that you get out and vote. I believe voting day is Tuesday. Make sure that you are exercising your constitutional right. I will say this election season on ZBT, the presidential election season, was much better than the last one. We didn't talk about politics. You are welcome. Sound the